scripture reading from the New Testament. It's from the book of Acts, chapter 2. I'm glad you had a chance to meet my old friend Nick Perrin. He and I go way back, but I bet I haven't seen him in 20 years. But Laura Ellen is good friends with his wife. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 38. This is picking up from 2 weeks ago. Peter has preached on the day of Pentecost, and now we're going to talk about the response to his preaching on the day of Pentecost as the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon the apostles. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 38. Yeah, you know, we need to back up to 37. Let's go with 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to one another as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we pray that your word now would flow like that water from Mount Hermon, that we would have a tasting that indeed the heavens have been opened up and have rained down upon us your grace, your love, your renewal, your mercies. So use your word to convict us, to bring us into a deeper repentance, but also deeper faith in you, and renew our hearts through your word and through the sacrament. And again, we ask that this would be indeed a tasting that the Lord is good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So some of you know that my family used to own a piece of property on Glen Lake up in Michigan. My grandfather had purchased this back in the 20s. But over the years, you know, as the family expanded and, you know, cousins and all this, and new generation emerged, it was really getting complicated because it was owned like by 20 people now. And so we ended up just selling it, thinking that that was the best plan. But it was always a special spot for me, and I have so many good childhood memories from that place. So last year, I went up, and they were still, you know, we had sold it, and they were now building, somebody had been building this new house on the property. And I saw a little tree, just a little tree about knee high. And I thought, you know, I'm gonna dig up a tree and take it home and plant it in my yard and kind of have it be a memory of that special piece of property. So I dug up this little sapling and I took it home. And even on the way home, I could see that the leaves were starting to wither. And took it home, and Amberly and I both got involved in planting it in our backyard. And I mean, just within a week or so, the leaves all just withered up brown and fell off. And that was kind of depressing because, you know, I'm not going to really have another opportunity to do that because I'd really be, you know, trespassing. Of course, I probably technically was trespassing, but I would really be trespassing if the people were living in the house And so I'm not going to have another window to actually do that again. So I was kind of sad about that. And last winter came, and it looked even more pathetic and almost brittle as the snow and the winter winds worked on it. And then as spring came, I was holding out maybe some hope that maybe I'd see some life in it. But every time I'd look at it, it just looked as dead as it always had been. And then one day, kind of went and looked, and I thought, that's not a little growth, is it? No. But I kept my eye on it, and sure enough, over the next few weeks and months, this dead-looking tree came to life. And it grew leaves, and it's about this high right now. It really has grown really fast, and it gives me a lot of pleasure to look at the tree in its newness of life. And remember, new life, renewed life, restored life is very much at the center of our Christian faith. Jesus said he is making all things new, and that includes you. A lot of people have the idea that church is this sort of boring assembly. Maybe people come to it out of habit, maybe begrudgingly. Some people think of it as sort of a Jesus kind of club, something like the Rotary Club, where those who are interested in Jesus sort of come together and talk Jesus. Some people think of the church merely as the building. I mean, I suspect with most Americans, if you say, what is a church, they're going to think of a brick building someplace. Many people think the church is irrelevant. Some even think it's foolish that you are here this morning. Some people come into church to get sort of a weekly fix and leave and really have no meaningful connections with anyone else in the church. They barely know the people that they're worshiping with. But I want you to think this morning with me that the biblical view of what the church is the assembly, the community of a new creation. A community that God is restoring, like my dead tree, is restoring life to us, bringing us back to how we were meant to live. We are the community of an age to come. And when we assemble, what we're supposed to be doing is tasting in this age a sense of the eternal age, the age to come, the new heaven and the new earth. We get a foretaste of glory divine, as one hymn goes. So I want to look at this just a bit here and talk about the church community as a new creation, as a baptized community, and then this might sound redundant, but a communing community. So let's go back to our story here. Peter has preached this sermon, and the response has been quite amazing. People respond with, what shall we do? I mean, they're described as being cut to the quick or cut to the heart. They're under great conviction of the Holy Spirit. They've become convinced that they were responsible in the crucifixion of the Messiah. So they're greatly aware of their sin, greatly aware of their brokenness. And now they're asking Peter, what should we do? And then Peter gives, of course, the answer then in verse 38. Here's what you should do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, this promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, all whom the Lord your God will call. So a couple things about that. He calls them to repent. Repent is a biblical word for turning away from your insanity to the place of your healing and restoration. That's what repentance is. So he calls them to repent and to turn to Christ and be baptized. And then he tells them that the promise is to you and to your children. I just want you to note that phrase. Peter is actually borrowing from the Abrahamic promise that we find back in Genesis. It's very similarly worded when God says to Abraham, you know, this promise, in Abraham's case, that he would be the father of many nations, he would be a blessing to the nations. This promise is to you, Abraham, and to your offspring. So we have this inclusiveness of children as a part of this. But it also reminds us that what Peter is talking about here is actually connected with what God was telling Abraham. That this is a fulfillment. That as God promised Abraham he would be the father of many nations, now with this whole thing of speaking in tongues, the proclamation is, this is no longer a strictly Jewish thing anymore, but this now has been opened up to the nations of the world. God is interested in the nations of the world coming to his light and coming to his new creation. So what's the insistence on being baptized? I'd like you to think that baptism is in some ways a mark that you are the child of the new creation. That your identity is no longer in the old creation that you are presently in, but you are now, as a baptized person, saying, I am identified with the life of the age to come. That's my true identity in Christ. I am a child of the kingdom of heaven that endures long beyond this old creation that is fading away. The Westminster Confession, larger catechism, says baptism is a sacrament of the New Testament, wherein Christ hath ordained the washing with water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to be a sign and seal of, now here are a couple things, your engrafting into Christ. I'm united with Christ now. That's my new identity. Christ is making all things new, right? We are new creatures in Christ. So you're identified with that. Of the remission of sins by his blood. So we're identifying in baptism that I am forgiven through Jesus, and that's my hope. I am washed clean and clean before my Lord. Regeneration by his Holy Spirit. So we are again new creatures in Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in us and we are new creations. Of adoption, we are the sons and daughters of God, and the resurrection to eternal life. So baptism marks you as I am a child of the new creation, and that we are the community of the new creation. Peter pleads with them later, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. I think the phrase corrupt generation is a pretty good description of what we might call the old creation. That is indeed corruptive. It's fading away. It doesn't last. It's temporary. And you know, like the second law of thermodynamics, it's this idea that the old creation is decaying. It's going, it's fading. It's impermanent. It's corrupting. The better word that I think a lot of translations use here for corrupt generation is this perverse generation. The word vert, the suffix vert, means to change or to turn. So when we talk about someone inverted, that means to turn upside down, or revert means to turn back, or divert means to turn away from, or avert means to turn away. And if you're an extrovert, that means you're turned inward, and if you're you're turned outward, and if you're an introvert, you're turned inward. A pervert carries with it the idea of someone who has turned away from what is good and right. It's, in essence, a kind of downgrading. The way things are now have been perverted, have been downgraded and turned away from. Pretty good description of the age that we live in. The old creation is characterized by things like sin and failure and impurity and guilt and shame, curse and toil and suffering and death, frustration, groaning, violence, greed, pride, lust, envy, selfishness, hatred. We see it all around us, right? That's old creation stuff that is fading away. Baptism, then, is the mark of the believer who is a product, a citizen of the new creation. The idea of water being showered down is a picture of the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is described as falling from above, or raining down, or being poured out. And that, you know, water is a picture of life and renewal and restoration and refreshment. As Christians, you are those people. That's what is available to us as we worship God and seek Him together. But baptism is also not only a picture of our being new creations in Christ, but we're also, as a community, a renewed community. So I want to talk about the communing community. There's a lot of things in our world described as communities, but a communion is deeper, right? This is about a community that is really sharing life, doing life in common as a united front and as a family. This is telling us there's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians, right? To become part of Jesus Christ is to become part of His body, the church. This Christian thing that we're all engaged in, it takes a community. Now, we're in this together. We can't do it without each other. So God calls His new creations into a community of new creations. And then we get this description here from Luke that here's what that community looks like. Now, I'm going to not spend a lot of time on this because this will be the subject of my sermon next week. But let's just do a quick review, run through kind of quickly what this new community looks like. So beginning at verse 42, it says they gave themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay? Doctrine is important to this new community. They gave themselves to fellowship. This is that Greek word koinonia. They were deeply sharing things together, sharing things in common. They were doing life together. Breaking of bread. This is probably a reference to the Lord's Supper. They were practicing what we're going to do in a few minutes. The Lord's Supper being a focus on Christ. Christ is at the center of who we are, that we have fellowship with Christ and union with Christ, and therefore have union with one another. We have that they were filled with awe. I mean, they were engaging with God in a real way as they got together and worshiped. God was active in doing signs and wonders. They were experiencing God as really changing their lives. They shared all things in common. They sold their possessions to share in common. So you get the sense of this community really being tuned into one another. If someone is hurting, they all share that burden. They're carrying one another's burdens. They're helping one another. They're engaged with one another. They're in one another's homes. They're having meals together. You can see from the very beginning, Christians like to eat together. And we do this, but they're in one another's homes. And you really get this sense of that these are close friends who love one another, who have this common faith, and they're working hard to be the community of Jesus Christ. The church is the community of a new creation. There's nothing boring about that. Okay, if we're bored, that's an issue with us. Because this community that we're involved in is the only community you're involved in that goes on forever. There's nothing more important than to be a part of the community of the believers in Jesus Christ. And in this new community, what are we doing? We're actually, like I said, getting a foretaste of glory divine. That we're getting something like a tasting of how we're going to live forever and ever and ever. That we're going to live forever and ever and ever in new life. And with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. We're going to be gracious to one another. We're going to be delighting in God together. We're going to not be selfish with one another. We're going to live with our differences and embrace one another's differences. And we're going to work together in unity. That's all the coming age stuff that we are called to practice, as imperfectly as we do. But we're called to be practicing and nurturing those values in community. So we've all been to the movie theater where they show a thing at the beginning called a trailer. Okay, so a trailer, as you know, is not the movie that you're going to watch, but it's giving you a preview of coming attractions. It's giving you a little tasting of, here's what this upcoming movie is about, and it's making that movie appealing, like, you know, you want to see this movie. You want to see what's coming. I'd like to think that to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ is something like that. We are to assemble together as a preview of coming attractions. We're to assemble as a foretaste of glory divine. Yeah, we do it imperfectly. We got a long way to go. And sometimes we do it really poorly. But that's why we need the gospel too, right? That's why we are a community centered on Christ. But nevertheless, this is what we're called to be shooting for. So, praise God that He is the God of making all things new. That He is the God who transplants us from one state that is corrupt and decaying and transplants us into another state called the kingdom of God, where all things are being made new. Let's pray. Father and God, we know that we forget these things, and that indeed you are making all things new, and so we find ourselves continuing to get caught in the old creation and living the old way. And we know that there's so much of that old creation and old man and old nature still very much in us, but we pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would continue that good work of leading us to die more and more to ourselves and live more and more unto Christ, until we find ourselves gathered around that eternal banqueting table of a new heaven and a new earth. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'd ask the elders if they might come forward.